next guest here to tell her story. She tells it in book form, Grief's Country, a memoir in pieces. Gail Griffin, out of Kalamazoo, had only been married for 4 months when her husband's body was found in the Manistee River, just a few yards from their cabin door. Let's talk about these events and how Gail has moved on and maybe where she was at this time for our needs to know. Gail Griffin, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Shelley. Thank you for having me.
Yes, you did some professing in Kalamazoo?
Oh, I did lots of professing, 36 years at Kalamazoo College.
What's your expertise?
I was in the English department and the Women's Studies program, and I also taught in the Creative Writing program.
And now you write Grief's Country. Tough to ask where to start here, but you do speak directly to anyone through your work who has lost a dearly loved one, offering not one story but 10 different faces of grief to contemplate. Give us the big picture, Gail.
Well, the big picture is that I was very afraid to start writing about Bob's death and my experience after he died. This book kind of snuck up on me. I started writing the last essay in the book first, and then I wrote another one, and then I got those published, and then I wrote another one. And when I was about 4 or 5 essays in, I finally said, girl, you need to confront the fact that you're writing a book about this. And I never aimed really to cover all of Grief's Country, but just those aspects, those moments, those perspectives, which stuck out in my memory as important moments. So that's the way I grounded the book, and I hope that it offers something like a complete view to readers.
Yes.
My experience, not of any kind of generalized grief experience.
It's a story told, as you're mentioning, in pieces, that it is 10 essays of varying forms, and yet there are 4 original poems. I'm going to go back to, obviously, Bob's death. Tell me, one never, I would think, completely heals, but first of all, how is life since then?
Life is quite solid and quite peaceful for me now. I see some permanent effects of the loss of Bob and of my aloneness, but I'm accustomed to being alone, and I navigate that pretty easily. So sequestering is not a problem for me at all. But life is okay. Life is solid. I can't say life is beautiful, but life is solid.
Yes. Grief's Country is your work. It does follow you from the morning after Bob's death through the first disoriented, fractured months of PTSD. Can you choose an essay, and certainly not read, but take us there to a story?
Let's see. From right after, would you like to something from right after Bob died, or
yes,
later on?
We have time for both.
Okay, well, let's see. Right after, a strange thing that summer, Bob died on the 8th of May in 2008. I came back to Kalamazoo a week later. I was in various people's hands until then, went to a doctor, et cetera. Came back to Kalamazoo, and summer was breaking here in town, and I remember that summer as long and hot and awful. And one day in July, I got away to the movie theater, and I went to see Dark Knight, which is a wonderful Batman movie, mm-hmm. starring Christian Bale as Batman, but more memorably starring Heath Ledger as the Joker. And Heath Ledger had just died, and his portrayal of the Joker was astonishing everybody. And I looked up at the screen at this hideous figure. I mean, he really did everything possible to make himself hideous. And I identified completely. It was like I was looking in a mirror. And I tell people that, and I told them that at the time, and they all found it very strange. I found it extremely normal. It felt completely comfortable to me. I needed some kind of other figure to reflect my own sense of being broken, being shattered. and Heath Ledger provided it. Go figure.
Yeah.
But one of the things I wanted to do in this book was get at the strangeness of grief, the weird, dark comedy of grief, the sides of grief that aren't usually talked about because people tend to default to a narrative they already know about recovery and transcendence and getting over something and five stages of grief and all of that stuff. And when I committed to writing this book, I thought, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do the grittiness of it, the unexpected things like identifying with Heath Ledger.
Yes.
So that's one.
And there's one that includes an unscheduled stop at Graceland.
There is.
Yeah.
One, that was the other one I was going to tell. When Christmas came that year, I was terrified of being here for the holidays. The holidays were really important to Bob and me, and we carved out our own way of celebrating them. And I couldn't imagine being with anybody else, and I couldn't imagine being alone. So I scheduled a trip to Jamaica. I don't know why Jamaica. I just thought if I went to a beautiful place, I would feel better. I didn't. But the funnier part of the story is that on the way, I got derailed in Memphis overnight. There was a weather issue. And I didn't quite know what to do. And being a woman traveling alone limited where I could go and what I could do. And I said, let's see, Memphis. And then I realized, Graceland. I've always wanted to go to Graceland. So I wound up at Graceland on December 26, 2008. It was raining and cold, and the only other visitors were a group of Japanese tourists. Usually the lines are out the door and around the block. So I had this great privilege of wandering around Graceland by myself with an audio tour featuring the voice of Lisa Marie Presley. And if any of your listeners have been to Graceland, they know that it's a very strange, surreal place. It's very odd. From the white living room to the black and yellow TV room to the meditation garden where Elvis and his family are buried, it's just one strange, strange place after another. And somehow the strangeness of Graceland appealed to me too. So I wandered around there, and in the book I write about how we construct these escapes for ourselves into strange lands. I was going to Jamaica, and Elvis built Graceland thinking it would be his castle, his refuge from the world. So that essay is about home and shelter and how impossible it is to escape.
Thank you for that. Grief's Country by you, Gail Griffin, Professor Griffin. What's the take-home message for us?
The take-home message is that grief comes to us all, certainly in this terrible season in our world right now. Grief is coming to us all. But the grief comes in very, very individual forms. And the worst thing we can do is hold ourselves or each other to some kind of standard for recovery or transcendence. The best we can do is sort of travel grief's country our own way and find our way through it.
I have a website to find out more information to order the book. It's wsupress.wayne.edu. Do you recommend that website?
I do very much. I've loved working with them.
Stop in when you're in Grand Rapids sometime, Gail Griffin.
I'd love to.
Thank you. Grief's Country, out where all fine books are sold. Take care.